now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. A lot of these people that have all these abilities, who have celestial star ancestry, they're operating not only throughout this cosmos, but in higher planes, and they're working against the Draco Empire. Photonic energy and the cosmic rays will activate our higher centers. And it's incumbent upon us to ride that frequency wave. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. We just got back from the Byron Bay UFO Conference yesterday, Byron Bay, Australia, the first ever Close Encounters Conference. I was a featured speaker there, as were a number of people. Actually, there were two conferences back-to-back at the same venue. The venue was the Byron Bay Community Center. The first 2 days, January 13th and 14th, Friday and Saturday night, was the Afterlife Explorers Conference. And then on Sunday and Monday, January 15th and 16th, we had the Close Encounters Conference. And I was the featured keynote speaker Sunday night in the theater downstairs, a circular tiered seating arrangement. I had a very good turnout, and I gave what I felt was a pretty good lecture. 75 minutes of MyLab information, short break, 75 minutes of reptilian information. And I had to run through a lot of points. I couldn't delve into detail about key specifics about the well-known and not-so-well-known nuances of the MyLab and reptilian issues, but I feel for the most part I hit the main points, and many people came up to me afterwards and sent me messages saying they really enjoyed my talk and felt it was the best talk of the whole four-day series of conferences. I know there is a groundswell of support for the kind of information my colleagues and I put out. In fact, people hunger for this information. They're tired of the same old tripe about New Age la-di-da stuff, about, oh, you're just too fear-based when you talk about the scary aliens, there are no scaly aliens, etc., etc., etc. We've all heard it before. But I was very encouraged to have such positive feedback from people who'd gone through some hardcore experiences themselves as well as their family members. It was quite encouraging and uplifting to Kylie and I to hear all this positive feedback. The topic, or one of the topics of this commentary, will be lightworkers get hammered sometimes, or it can also be entitled, sometimes lightworkers also get hammered. And what I mean by that is you can always tell, for the most part, who a fake, fraudulent lightworker is. They either profess to never having had experienced spiritual warfare, or they're so mind-controlled and entity-infested they wouldn't know spiritual warfare if it fell out of the sky and landed on their head. The real lightworkers, at times, get hammered by spiritual warfare. They get hammered by entity attacks. They get hammered by frequency, electromagnetic field effects, abductions, harassment, etc., etc. Not surprising, many true light workers also get hammered from those around them, either narcissistic family members, entity-infested family members, entity-infested extended family members, friends of the family, etc., etc. Sometimes one feels that they're isolated and hemmed in when they do this kind of work. And I know there are many of you out there laboring under relative obscurity and wondering to yourself, am I even making a difference? Yes, absolutely you are. You're absolutely making a difference, a huge difference in your own sphere of influence, far beyond whatever I can do, because those of you out there that are standing in the gap and being the true light warriors, light workers, light warriors, you do have support. You do have air support, if you will, higher dimensional extended ET star families, spirit elders, etc., etc. So you really are not alone. But just know that there are many of us out there who are cheering you on and can feel the impact and the difference you are making. So please hang in there and just know that you're not alone. And we are all in this together. The reason I started this segment of the commentaries with this light workers talk is that once again, I noticed that, and it's hard not to notice, but there are so many people out there that are spreading this false message of love and light. And sometimes the message is so incongruent with their own comportment, what's going on in their own life. Some of these people who profess to be light workers are living shambolic lives, where they're just being hammered from the aforementioned negative entity-infested relatives, family members, partners, etc., etc. And the message that's coming out of them of love and light and all this metaphysical pablum is completely bass-ackwards and incongruent with what's going on in their own lives. When we try to do good in this world, we can expect at some level to receive resistance and interference because we're going against the grain of this world. So look at these attacks sometimes as a backhanded compliment. You're making a difference. You're doing something right. You've got the entire hive Muppet consciousness across the multiverse riled up against you. Congratulations. You're making a difference. You're taking the pressure off others who need to have pressure taken off them for the time being. So, you're doing the right thing by resisting and by carrying on your work. Now, a fraudulent light worker can be characterized as someone who professes, at least publicly and privately, to never having had any negative experiences, never having seen or experienced any kind of negative entity, any kind of negative interdimensional, etc., etc. Yeah, I believe that when I see it. And so many of these faux light workers are intolerant, judgmental, and they have this presumptuous air about them. Oh, you were talking about negative experiences in your lecture. Let me heal you. Oh, yeah, right, lady. I'm going to let an entity-infested person like you do energy work on me, mangle my meridians and chakras in the process. Thanks, but no thanks, meanad lady. And that happens too. And I speak from experience. I let an entity-infested lady do body work on me, and I felt miserable for days and weeks afterwards. It's so subtle, folks. What can be done to you to really knock you out of kilter? You could be sitting in the wrong meditation circle. You could be listening to the wrong tones and frequencies in a meditative open state. Combine that with audio visuals, seeing certain geometric symbols, seeing certain so-called sacred geometries, along with certain frequencies, all under the guise of love and light, all under the guise of being a light worker. And what happens? Some of the people that are more switched on, that are true spiritual warriors in their own light, they have very ill effects from these light sound extravaganzas that are being pumped out by these light workers. They feel like their chakra is being tugged on. They feel ill and out of sorts. And then later on, when they're back in their hotel room, they feel like they're getting attacked. In fact, they are, because they've been opened up and all these entities are jumping without parachutes to have a go at them. And all because some light worker fooled them into thinking that what they're going to be presented with, what they're going to be taking part in, what they're going to be experiencing is something beneficial for them and the world at large. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. We must get back to being able to tune into people's frequencies and listen to what our bodies and our energy body tells us. Too often we listen to the words, what these people say, and especially when they're, you know, coming at it from this ego-driven, highfalutin, spiritual, know-it-all attitude. And they've got all the cliches down, all the metaphysical pablum cliches, all the metaphysical tripe, speaking in metaphysical riddles, justifying, and being dismissive. I open up my speech talking about some of these people going around shaming alien abductees who report negative experiences, shaming them, making them feel guilty. Oh, you've had a MyLab experience? That, you know, it's because you're a bad person, essentially. This is coming from these love and lighters, coming from these so-called light workers. Then later on, they presume, in their arrogance, to think they can help you by wanting to do a healing on you. The same intolerant people, the same judgmental people, judgmental people, the same entity-infested people. Because I guarantee you, the consciousness coursing through, or what passes as a consciousness coursing through these people, is not human. Because true humans, with a human connection to Source, they have empathy, they have compassion, they have unconditional love. And they would never look down on another as being spiritually inferior, never look down on another as being fear-based and victimized because they report frightening, traumatic alien abduction experiences, reptilian experiences, military experiences. And yet that's the incongruent, hypocritical, bass-ackwards message that comes out of these love and lighters. And I'm sick and tired of all of them. And the thing about it is, there is a groundswell of support for people like ourselves who are going out there and putting out the real information. Just the relief and the feeling of vindication and validation these people have when they come up to me and they say, you know, I really resonated with everything you said. It made me feel so good. I knew that I was feeling these feelings and having these misgivings for a reason, even though everyone around me was talking love and light and all this other crap. Pardon my Anunnaki. So that gives me encouragement. That gives me the wherewithal and the encouragement to go on and continue doing this work. And I'm not alone. There are many others of us out there, some laboring under relative obscurity. And that's how it works, folks. That's how this matrix works. The New Age la-di-da Muppets, fake light workers, who go around, you know, with their entourage and cult of personality and, you know, go around shaming people, only want to talk about love and light and the warm and fuzzy ETs. Oh, they will have, outwardly, nothing will seem to happen to them of a negative nature, because actually they're one of the entities that are behind this negative agenda in actual fact. Again, there is an irony at work here, a supreme irony, because many of these light workers, these fake light workers, and many of these mindless followers of light workers who parrot the metaphysical riddles and metaphysical pablums spewed out by the light workers, they themselves have had traumatic, frightening experiences, but they've been so mind-controlled, and the experiences have been so shunted into a corner of their minds and sealed off with an amnesic barrier that they don't even want to go in that direction. That's why some of them get hostile when they hear about negative experiences, because they're projecting out all this unresolved trauma, unresolved pain and suffering and shame and whatnot. Because at heart, like so many of us, a lot of these New Age la-di-das and fake light workers, they're shame-based, because many of us in this archontic world developed a shame-based personality. That's just the way it is. And it takes some time to undo all this. It's something that you just can't, like, snap your finger and undo. Undo a lifetime's worth of being beaten down and shamed and guilted and made to feel poorly of yourself, made to feel less than, made to feel unworthy. And see, that's another trap that these New Agers fall into. Because, you know, whatever is going on in their life, whatever kind of misgivings and challenges and heartache and traumas they're enduring, they tell themselves that they're spiritually evolved beings, and they just tune all that out. It's, I guess you can call it a form of denial, but really it's part of the psychological behavior programming that goes on. So many of these people, these fake life workers, they're so patently unhealed. They're so just messed up. And they have the gall to go around looking down their noses at people and presuming to be spiritually superior to others when their message is one of deception and deceit, and it's not even their message. These fake light workers don't have an original idea in their head. Everything they know or they think they know was put in there by something or someone else. That's the irony. One thing that must be understood is that these fake light workers, the entities working through them and that have control over them, they help them out, these fake light workers. Whereas for people that really want to do a good job, get the message out to the people having the experiences, help them do what can be done for people going through these ET, reptilian, MyLab challenges, sometimes it could be quite a challenge to not only keep oneself afloat, keep one's own sanity intact, and keep the ship going in the right direction, but on top of that, you know, helping people, right? And it is a challenge at times. On the other hand, you have these fake light workers, and sometimes, and I don't say this out of jealousy or resentment or envy, this is just the way that this matrix is set up. A lot of these fake light workers will be aided and abetted by the entities working through them and that have control over them. So these fake light workers won't have some of the challenges that we do, right? And doors and opportunities will seem to open for these fake light workers. And even when it comes to treatment by the media, if the media decides, okay, we'll treat this particular lecture, event, UFO, alien researcher with more respect, fairness, objectivity, well, they're not going to do it for one of the real hardcore UFO alien abduction researchers. In those rare times when they decide to give the whole subject a fair shake, they will often as not either seek out one of these faux nuts and bolts, bogus scientifically oriented UFO researchers, lights in the sky types, and they'll come on and they'll talk about some sighting, and at the end of the short clip they'll say that, oh, it's all inconclusive and there's no real way to determine what exactly it was that was caught on videotape, etc., etc. Those are the types they usually get on TV for a short news segment. But if they get someone else in the field, often as not, it'll be some kind of fake light worker, New Age la-di-da. They sure as heck won't get people like myself and my colleagues, and I wouldn't even waste my time with them anyway. I don't fraternize with the corporate media. I don't fraternize with fake light workers. I don't fraternize with, bogus nuts and bolts, bogus scientific model UFO researchers. The point of relevance and the point being is that if the media does decide to give the subject in general of UFOs and aliens a fair, impartial hearing, they're more likely to gravitate to one of these fake light workers, because the fake light agenda advances the overall agenda. these people are not only deemed harmless, they go some way towards helping to pacify the people out there who watch the news segment that are having their own ET experiences. So much for the false light workers in this segment, and I'm sure I'll have more to say about them in a future commentary. What I want to talk about now is many people out there, parents of children, are having to come to grips with how do they talk to their children when their children are having alien encounters, in particular alien abduction encounters, because not all kids are like star kids, indigo children, whatever the trendy name to describe children who are having ET encounters are these days. Because some of these kids certainly don't see themselves as star children or indigo children. A lot of these kids are afraid to go to sleep at night. They dread the onset of evening and darkness because of the things that have happened to them. They're afraid to not just go into their bedroom where these experiences happen, they're afraid to go to the entire second floor if their bedroom's in the second floor of the house, because that's where these scary experiences occur. So how does a parent talk to their child when the parent or parents know that the children are really having ET encounters? Because often as not, this is a multi-generational agenda. The parents often as not have experiences themselves. So how do they talk to their children about these experiences? Well, one thing they can do at the outset is reassure the child and say that I understand what it's like to have these scary dreams and scary things happen. And sometimes it's more comforting for the child to be told about these experiences from in the context of a dream, but at the same time, and one has to be adroit about this, at the same time not being dismissive of their experiences, because dreams are real anyway, right? So if the parent can share and say things like, I've gone through similar things, I know what it's like when the lights come in the room, and I know what it's like when, you know, these things come out of the closet. We believe you. That's the important thing, is these kids need validation. Too many parents are quick to be dismissive. Oh, you're just having a bad dream. That's what I mean about dreams being used in the wrong context. As difficult as it may sound, what I would encourage to happen, a process to encourage to happen, would be to, as difficult as it may be, to move the child away from the fear to one of being not scared and at times even defiant against these beings, because the entities feed off the fear response. They feed off of it. So if the child can be brought to a neutral point where he's no longer scared, and then get him to a point where the child can assert his own sovereign being, his own sovereign nature. You're not allowed here. You're not wanted. Go away. I don't believe anything you say. You're bad. You're evil. And I have protection. Teach the kids that they do have protection from a higher, much more powerful source. Because what these beings will do is, they will, in some cases, it's more often for children. Others, it's more cyclical. Like with me, with my experiences in the past, it was cyclical. They would come and do a bunch of stuff, and sometimes this would last for weeks or months, and then they go away, and I wouldn't hear from them or see them for a while, and then they come back again. They would hit me at different points in my life, my teenage years, when I was 8 to 10 years old, when I was in my early mid-20s, they would just come around at different points. And with kids, they come around, and in their formative years, they begin to realize something is going on. And they begin to make these cognitive associations. When it's dark, when I'm alone in my room or at night, sometimes these things happen. So it's no wonder that they develop phobias about a particular bedroom, about the nighttime, and we have to find ways to wean them off fear, wean them off the dependence upon sleeping with the lights on, for example. I didn't have anyone that I could turn to when I was a boy. So for many years, clear into when I was a young adult, even, I slept with the lights on for the most part. Not always, but sometimes. It depended if I had a prodromal feeling and I felt entities around and you know, had that creepy crawly feeling of being watched. Yeah, I would sleep with the lights on. And it wasn't just the lights. It would be the TV. It would have the radio playing. And I eventually had to wean myself off that by sleeping with night lights, sleeping with a TV in a darkened room with the volume down. And it took time. To this day, I could sleep directly beneath a bare light bulb, shining at full intensity, and it's not a problem for me. I could sleep right through it, right through my eyelids, all the light blasting through. Don't matter, I could still sleep. But with kids, sometimes you need to reassure them, embrace them, love on them, validate them. You don't have to go into all the sort of details about the ETs and whatnot, the different types of ETs and whatnot. But what you can do that's also therapeutic is you can have them draw. And it's amazing the kind of things these kids will draw. They'll draw little reptilians, they'll draw big reptilians, they'll draw bug-like insectoid creatures, mantis beings. And that can be a form of therapy, where when they draw the picture, then you can begin to talk to them about it. Yes, I've seen this before too. You know, we're stronger than them. Whatever spiritual faith or belief system you have, just reassure the child that, or the children, that what you have working through you comes from a much higher, more powerful, stronger place. Stronger than anything these aliens or boogeymen or whatever the child is comfortable referring to them as. Stronger than any of them. And just remind the child that they are sovereign, that they are sovereign beings in their own right and must not be messed with. And imbue that creed into the child, where they can at some point get to the point where they say to the ETs that are messing with them, "You have no right to me or my body or my house. Get out of here." Teach them resistance skills over time to be defiant. This is completely at variance with, and it should be, with the love and light workers, New Ager message, where the kids are just told to embrace these ETs and just love on them because there are space brothers, and besides, your indigo kids, your star kids, and you know, these are your family, and don't worry about being scared. It's basically they tell the kids are too dumb to understand the true nature of what's going on with them. Spoken like a true, dispassionate, unempathic, detached individual that has entities working through them. Because remember, always remember, folks, these people, these starry-eyed light workers and fake light workers and ET lovers, many of them have attached entities. Many of them are hosts for these entities. Many of them have the consciousness of an alien coursing through them. And so the words and the deeds that come out of them are, strictly speaking, not even human. So that's another thing that parents need to do. Steer clear of these people. Because the parents may, in order to seek help, guidance, validation, confirmation, they may start going to these meetings, metaphysical meetings, UFO groups, where they're going to run smack dab into these types. Often is not, right? And then if they confide in these people, "Yeah, I'm really concerned. My kid's waking up with marks. He's waking up with bloody noses, and he's very scared, and he's very skittish, right? You know, loud noises, or sleeping with the lights on. He's terrified of the thought, etc., etc." And then what'll come out of these entity-infested light workers is just, you know, more pablum, more nonsense, more drivel. So definitely steer clear of them. They're just a they're not just a waste of time. They're downright dangerous in many ways because of the entities and the consciousness working through them. What I'm going to talk about now are aspects of the reptilian brain, the lizard brain, as special forces, some of them refer to the R-complex. Ritualism forms a key aspect of reptilian control. One thing that is often left out of police investigations when it comes to serial murderers is that at least some, not all, but at least some are definitely part of satanic cults. David Berkowitz, a classic example, the Son of Sam killer, so-called. It must be understood that the R-complex, the oldest part of our brain, the lizard brain, the reptilian brain, it works in the oldest primordial way that beings operate in. Ritualism, sexual aggression, an obeisance, an acquiescence, and acceptance of hierarchy. And we're talking about the ritualism aspect here. If you look back at some of the key serial murderers in history, Richard Ramirez, a Night Stalker, Jeffrey Dahmer, you will see that ritualism and indulging in ceremonial magic, black magic so-called, because they're using dark, evil, malign intentions, is a key part of their persona, a key part of their modus operandi. Richard Ramirez, when he was in court, held his hand up and showed a pentagram in his hand. This is an aspect that is conveniently left out of a lot of the investigations into serial murderers. Now, what the R-complex does is it, for those who have an overabundance, let's say, of reptilian and or Draco DNA, it allows these entities to start working through these people, behavior modification. I will delve into these issues more in a future commentary and in a future lecture and in future papers, because it's important we understand the ritualism aspect to this. We, because of the Chronos time factor being stuck in a linear flat field time effect and the Saturn moon matrix manipulation, we're stuck in this linear time treadmill. And we've lost to some degree, in some cases, many people, to a tremendous degree, our multidimensional, quantum, hyperdimensional outlook and perception. We don't feel our environment and feel energetic fields, discordance and fluxes in the energy fields around us the way we should, the way animals do. Because for the most part, humans are completely oblivious as to the nature of the multiple threat environment in which they reside. And what the controllers want to do, the reptilian human hybrid plantation managers, and above them, the extraterrestrial, subterranean, interdimensional reptilians, Dracos, and their cosmic vassals, the various gray factions that work through them, they want to instill ritualism. And first I'll talk about OCD thought loops, because that's a big part of it. And then I'll talk more about ritualism. The OCD thought loops, obsessive compulsive disorder thought loops. To give but one example of how OCD thought loops are instilled by an external / internal source, because oftentimes these entities have formed an energetic attachment, attached cords, etheric implants, physical implants, and made some inroads into taking up the person at least part-time as a host. The OCD thought loops are largely responsible. It's part and parcel of a manipulation which results in eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia. I've talked about this. I've gone through it. I've spoken to people who can see the reptilians in their etheric vision when they're not visible in the visible spectrum. They can see these reptilians goading them, telling them that they're a fat slob and that if they don't stop eating, period, if they don't stop eating, they'll never lose weight and they'll never get a date, they'll never get married, they'll never have children, etc., etc. Now, these are people that happen to be able to see the reptilians. Now, imagine those people who can't see the reptilians and they think those thoughts bouncing around in their heads are their own. I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. I need to lose weight, I need to lose weight, I need to lose weight. And the people, you know, oftentimes, sadly, young girls and women go through this. Think of Karen Carpenter. They begin to deprive themselves of nourishment and they become very sick and in some cases they die. All because of some negative energy is putting thoughts in their heads, obsessive compulsive thoughts, making the person, in our example, a woman or a young girl, think that they're fat when they're not really fat. That's just one example of an OCD thought loop. And there are others, OCD thought loops of lack of self-worth, of loneliness, of depression. Remember, depression and feelings such as depression, they're an energy, energy in motion. And simply by manipulating a certain part of the brain and certain parts of the energy field around a human, they can affect the emotions and the feelings of an individual. So many times we come across these people who've been hoodwinked by the mantis beings. Oh, I just felt this wave, this tsunami wave of love and wisdom coming off this mantis being. It had all the intelligence and the wisdom of the entire multiverse within it. No, that's just the entities beaming a certain part of their brain to make them feel that way. Likewise, when alien abductees are inundated with this tsunami wave of love, which seems to be emanating from certain aliens, right? Some of the smaller tannish beings are notorious for this. Likewise, some of the mantis beings can do the same thing. They just like beam a certain part of the person's brain and manipulate their heart center, and suddenly the percipient, the abductee, is made to think that these beings are full of love, but just this overwhelming feeling of love was coming from them. No, that's just a manipulation. And if they can do that, they can do the inverse, which is make people feel miserable, feel poorly about themselves, fearful, skittish, paranoid, and you add in and layer in the OCD thought loops. And notice how society, and I've talked about this before at the risk of sounding redundant, but it needs to be mentioned. The media and the radio stations in America, most of the radio stations are owned by just a handful of corporations. Murphy Broadcasting and Clear Channel Communications own the lion's share of radio stations in America. And I experienced this firsthand when the deliberately set Southern California wildfires, so-called, were unleashed throughout Southern California in 2004. Boy, was that an Armageddon-like apocalyptic scene. All the radio stations in San Diego County, all musical genres, had the same three people, two males, one female, giving updates about which highways were closed, where evacuations were going to take place, etc., etc. The same three people could be heard simultaneously on just about every station on the radio dial in Southern California, in rather San Diego County. And it cut across all genres. Rock and roll, easy listening, country and western, etc., etc. Because the emergency alert system kicked in, and you had these three people talking on all these radio stations simultaneously because they were all owned either by Clear Channel or Murphy Broadcasting, or both. So that's why typically in American radio stations, I know this especially is the case in parts of Arizona and especially in California, to reinforce the OCD thought loops and to condition the brains of people, the neurology of people, to entrainment. They keep playing the same songs over and over again, right? Radar Love by Golden Earring, right? Those guys made that song eons ago, and they're probably still collecting royalty checks for that one song, right? Or that other song they play, The Twilight Zone. I guess they keep playing those songs over and over again because maybe they don't have to pay as much on royalties and whatever the case may be. But it cuts across all genres, because if you listen to a country western station, it'll be the same seven songs. If you listen to easy listening, it'll be the same seven songs. If you listen to, you know, rock and roll, it'll be the same several songs. And that causes OCD thought loops. You hear one of those songs, even for a moment, if you're at the workplace, that song bounces around your noggin all day long. That's the whole idea. Likewise, the media, where they keep trying to frighten people with their terrorist alerts and their endless hoaxes and false flags over and over and over again. Keep people not only with the OCD thought loops of terrorism, and nowadays they keep pushing all the divide and conquer stuff, racism and discrimination and et cetera, et cetera. They just keep pounding that in to the consciousness and the subconsciousness of people. The universities and schools do the same thing. The same memes over and over and over and over and over again. So instead of being quantum, hyperdimensional, multidimensional beings with perception that reaches out in all directions at all times, we're just kind of reduced to this OCD kind of echo chamber. The same thoughts, the same emotions, the same feelings. And remember, often as not, there is an emotional component, an emotional quotient, if you will, to thoughts and feelings. That's why these OCD thought loops, which these negative entities impose upon people, are designed, and they're basically meant to make people feel poorly about themselves, lack of self-worth, lack of confidence, negative body image, etc., etc., etc. They're not going to be pumping in OCD thought loops like, you're a winner. Everything you do will come out smelling roses. You're going to be a success. No, none of that. It's always the opposite of that. Negative thought loops keep people in a negative vibration, and it creates a flux in the divine matrix so that they begin to create self-sabotaging issues for themselves, creating misfortune instead of good fortune for themselves, pulling in bad association, negative people into their experience, etc., etc., etc. Never underestimate the capabilities and the capacity of these negative, largely unseen entities to malignly influence us and cause us to do things that we normally wouldn't do because of their ability to engender OCD thought loops within us, ability to mess with our emotions. On one moment, we're feeling nirvana. Next moment, we're feeling really poorly about ourselves, really feeling down and out. Just like And in many ways, it literally is a case, not as primitive, but think of someone just tweaking knobs or flicking switches or, you know, that kind of thing. That's how easy it is for these entities to mess with our emotions and mess with our thoughts. Okay, so I gave you that as the basis for understanding the next part, which is the ritualistic aspect. And David Icke talks about this too, that to some degree, we are all ritualistic. There are certain things that we do that we tend to do the same things all the time. We tend to go to the same gas stations to, you know, fill up and get our gas. And, you know, at the office, we tend to pull in and park at the same parking spots and so on and so forth. In myriad ways, we are kind of our complex in our own way. We tend to have ritualistic, repetitive, redundant behavior. But what these entities do is they really push the redundancy, the repetitiveness. Like in extreme OCD cases, that's where you have people always washing their hands, where they always have people going around checking the locks on the doors and wondering, oh, you know, did I turn the light off in the upstairs bathroom? Did I turn the light off down in the basement? Do I need to go down there and check it? That's where all this stuff comes from, is OCD and then embedding the ritual in it, the ritualism. And people that have an overabundance of reptilian DNA, and especially those who are malignly influenced, and let's say negative reptilian human hybrids, negative reptilian Draco hybrids, they will become, at the goading insistence and prodding of their reptilian and Draco familiars, very ritualistic indeed. They will encourage them to start reading about magic and ceremonial magic and Enochian magic and delving into various aspects of the Ordo Templi Orientis, whatever the case may be, because they want these hybrids of theirs to start delving in that direction, because it provides further inroads and allows these reptilian and other lower fourth density entities to interface with them more often. Because when these people get to the point where they're starting to conduct ceremonies, remember, I said in previous commentaries that even our DNA is a portal, that our very being by nature is portal-like. When these individuals, these R-complex, heavy, reptilian-human, Draco-human hybrids begin delving into ceremonial magic, that opens them up big time. They're already portals to begin with, or organic portals. And then when they start chanting and toning in certain ways. I'm not saying that chanting and toning is bad, but in a certain context, certain invocations, certain script, if you will, certain ways of chanting certain words, certain songs are defaulted to bring in certain entities, are defaulted to bring about certain changes in the space-time continuum, in the energy field around us, in ways that are beneficial to these negative entities. So even if a person is doing some of these ceremonies and invoking some of these mantras and using invocations, etc., etc., and they think they're doing it from a white magical, well-intentioned place, they may inadvertently be activating and triggering default systems set in place eons ago, not just millennia ago, because magic, as we understand the term, has been used throughout the cosmos, throughout the multiverse. So these people begin chanting and invoking and working with sacred geometry, etc. They're opening big-time doors. And if they already have a preponderance of reptilian Draco DNA and the reptilians, Dracos, mantid beings, etc., had already groomed them for this kind of work, for this kind of, as a medium, if you will, in this regard, medium through which they can work through the people, through the individuals, then another big part of this is the activation of the ego. If they activate the ego of the person, this works across the board, right? From New Agers on the one hand, starry-eyed New Agers on the one hand, to people who are wind up being warlocks, adepts, black sorcerers. Once the ego is activated, that makes it even easier for these beings to interface and work through them, because when they start doing these magical spells, when they start doing these invocations, when they start using what they believe is telekinetic powers of their own, these entities will do a dog and pony act, and the entities oftentimes will manipulate and morph reality around these people, make them think that, oh, you know, I've got all these woo-woo powers. I can make a flame dance in this direction and that direction. I can make the flame expand and contract. Well, maybe, maybe not. What if it's actually these entities that are doing all that magical hoochie-coo? Now, that's not to say that later down the track, these adepts and or these wannabe adepts, warlocks, etc., can develop their own powers. That very often is the case. But at the outset, when they're working to really activate the ego of these people, these negative entities will do a psychical, telepathic, magical hoochie-coo on the people, make them think that they're responsible for doing all this magical work, and they're morphing reality, and they're creating all these changes in the space-time around them. To a certain degree, yes, they do have something to do with that, but largely it's the forces working through them, because now they're an open vessel, they're an open conduit through which these entities, and by then, in many cases, the interface has taken place where one or more entities has comfortably merged with that person who, remember, is already predisposed genetically, psychologically, neurologically, spiritually, indeed, to be taken up as a host by one or more of these entities. And that was the intention all along, in many cases, was that this person would become an adept, this person would become a black magician. But it has everything to do with genetics to begin with. Even many people working for the good, white magicians, shamans, medicine men, medicine women, many it has to do with bloodlines and genetics also, right? But in our example, these others, and of course, there's a lot of bad shamans, a lot of bad yogis. In this example, I'm just talking about good yogis, good shamans, good medicine men, medicine women. They had to discipline themselves. They had to learn. They had to study. They had to submit their ego to an elder or elders and be willing and have a spirit of a teachable spirit, right? And then they had to learn, you know, these techniques and these disciplines and be responsible with it and not use it for selfish ends, but for the greater good, right? But largely, many of these people have this latent metaphysical ability through genetics and the morphic resonance field, and they're being descended from one or more higher dimensional ET families. Okay, so let's get back to what we were talking about, these adepts that are being groomed. Now, this is just talking about using sacred geometry, utilizing gematria, utilizing numerology, utilizing etc., etc. And anyone could do these things. Anyone could use numerology for the good. Okay, there's always two sides to the coin here. But I'm talking about, in our example, these people that are reptilian Draco-human hybrids and are being groomed by their familiars to be able to go out and, well, use their abilities for malign purposes. So as time goes on, they begin to be goaded, and some of these hybrids don't need much encouragement, to delve into even ever darker, more evil, more sadistic, more cruel things. And because they have this consciousness working through them, in their interpersonal relationships, they're already using manipulation techniques. They're already using the ability to muck with somebody's solar plexus, will, volition area to make them submit or acquiesce or to neutralize them, right? To engender confusion within somebody, nausea within somebody. That makes them more pliable. That makes them more vulnerable. Any number of ways these talents, if you want to call that, can be utilized. Like in a conference setting, a UFO conference, a metaphysical conference, which is oftentimes, folks, a battleground, right? there's so many people that attend these things that have attached entities that are hosts for one or more negative entities that are consciously playing a double game, smiling at you as the light worker, but really they're just using magical hoochie-coo on you because, you know, they don't like your message. Or a lot of it is soul recognition too, folks, because some of these entities working through these people, they suss you out immediately. Oh, you're one of them, right? You're on the other side. And so immediately upon meeting these people, they develop an instant mistrust, instant dislike for you. Even if you've never done anything wrong to them, doesn't matter. It's the vibe you give off. It's soul recognition. They know that you won't fall for their BS. They know that everything that you talk about, how you comport yourself, what information you're willing to share with others is diametrically opposed to what they're all about. So they just cop an instant attitude towards you. Take it as a compliment, really, but keep your shields up. So eventually, the familiars, the reptilian and Draco familiars and other negative entities begin to goad these people to ever more sadistic acts. It goes from simply manipulating or trying to manipulate others, rip people off, this, that, and the other. Then they start delving into things like, you know, blood sacrifice and all forms of abuse meted out to innocents, etc., etc., etc. Because by doing so, they open up even more portals around them. They open up themselves to even more lower entity possession. And you can feel the energy of these people. They're not very good at... So that, in a nutshell, and in future commentaries and articles and treaties, I'll flesh it out more than that. I'll go into more detail. But the whole point being that if one starts to detect certain OCD thought loops manifesting, if one starts to detect within oneself like this tendency towards ritualistic behavior, doing the same things over and over to an abnormal degree, let's say, then one needs to start to work beyond that. I think Carlos Castaneda, in one of his books, he was taught by Don Juan the art of not doing. And in a nutshell, and I'm not sure if I remember this correctly, it was rather than doing something that you normally do a certain way, just get into a mode of not doing where you're kind of breaking away from the pattern. So it's important that we get away from extreme ritualistic behavior. And when we start to recognize OCD thought loop patterns, maybe we ought to pay attention to that. Maybe it's not really us that's thinking that, these OCD thought loops. Because what they do is they use our thought voice, if you will. And that's why we think, oh, you know, I thought of that idea. I thought about making that poor decision. I thought about, you know, doing that bad thing. No, not necessarily. It could be these entities that are using your thought voice to manipulate you, to make you have something unfortunate happen. So it just reinforces the cycle of lack of self-worth, of despair, of, oh, I made another mistake, and, you know, the self-loathing kicks in, and we start bashing ourselves about the head for making mistakes and doing things that we shouldn't ought to be doing, right? And they just love that. To them, that's like a buffet smorgasbord where they just love it when we're just beating ourselves up unmercifully for any perceived failings or for not doing something right or correctly or making a mistake. So when we start to recognize these OCD thought loops and the ritualistic behavior that goes with it, then we should take notice of that. Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong in principle with reading. Well, some of them I wouldn't read, but if you're just gonna like be looking through one of the Llewellyn books about Enochian, Enoch, and the language of what John Dee and Kelly were working on, bringing back the angelic language of Enochian, Like when I look through those books, I just skim through all the invocations. I don't pronounce the words. I don't enunciate them because I don't know what the hell it'll conjure up, you know? So I just like skim through all the invocations and whatnot. And I don't, even in my mind, I don't pronounce or enunciate them. So, you know, then I just get back to the main part of the text where they're describing certain things. And, you know, then I just skip over all the invocations again, right? That's just what I do. Nothing wrong with having books in your library about, you know, the Golden Dawn or Aleister Crowley or whatever, right? I mean, if it's, you know, for research purposes. So just keep that in mind. But again, just be kind of careful about what you enunciate, what you invoke. So we've reached the end of this segment of Bartley's commentaries on the cosmic wars. I talked about fake light workers. I talked about ways that parents can help their children going through frightening alien abduction experiences. I talked about OCD thought loops and how it ties in with ritualism and ritualistic behavior. And so we'll catch up with you again next week. Our guest this week on the Cosmic Switchboard Show are Hugh Newman and Jim Vieira, who will be talking about giants and megalithic structures and ancient advanced civilizations. Wherever you may be, good listeners, we send you love, we send you compassion, and wherever you may be, daytime or nighttime, have a very pleasant time. Bye for now.